This story could be running. I could go viral. I would have no idea.
Man with flip phone goes viral has no idea.
That would be the story. Man with flip phone goes viral, doesn't know. And then I'll wait to hear about it at the bar.
Wait, I'm viral?
I went viral? Yeah.
Can you text me that? And please don't use any emojis. Hi, everybody. It's Kurt Schlosser, GeekWire Geek Life reporter. I'm here to introduce you to Michael Valeri, a 28-year-old Seattle techie who is decidedly low-tech when it comes to what many of us regard as our most high-tech personal item. Michael's made a conscious decision to use a flip phone instead of a smartphone for the past 13 years. And his story of living without that smartphone shows how much those devices have added to our lives. It also shows what the devices have taken away from ours, making us less engaged with the world around us. Michael's going to lead a two-hour class at General Assembly in Seattle on January 30th called Swipeless in Seattle, How to Live Without a Smartphone. Seattle newsletter The Evergrey first interviewed Michael earlier this week, and we invited him to GeekWire to tell us more. Michael, I'm sitting here. I'm looking at your AT&T Singular Flip 2.
Yeah.
It's even got a pop socket on the back.
It does.
Why are you doing this, Michael? What is the deal with you and your not-so-smartphone? Tell us a little bit about the backstory.
Really, I've kind of been doing this as a thought experiment, mm-hmm. which is to see, you know, is it possible to live an effective life without the smartphone? It's like a game to me. It's like a big puzzle. Being distracted is just something that I've dealt with a lot. That's why I used to lock myself in the library and when I needed to study. And I really enjoy focusing on the task at hand. And I feel like the phone could definitely impede my thought process. Because I think I'm a little bit ADD in mm-hmm. that regard. That, you know, a small little thing could be like, oh, you know, a squirrel, go this way.
Yeah. But you're very clear, and you made this clear to me earlier. This isn't you being anti-tech. This isn't you trying to make some sort of societal statement. It's just kind of how you've chosen to live your life.
Right, right. Yeah, I definitely am not wanting to get on a soapbox and say, smash your iPhone or technology is bad. This is a conversation about how to live without a smartphone. So I'm here for folks who are looking to maybe look for a lifestyle change. And what would that look like?
It's been 13 years of existence for you with a flip phone. I guess there was a short period in there where you had a smartphone. But tell me about life away from what we all regard as normal technological existence for you. Tell me a little bit about living disconnected, so to speak.
Yeah, well, one of the biggest things is you make a ton of mistakes and you're very inefficient.
In what way? In your texting or in your transportation?
Texting, navigation? Replying to people in time, navigating, getting around, being up to date, being topical.
Do you find that you miss events, you miss news events, or you're late to certain news stories that everybody's talking about because they got an alert on their phone or whatever?
Yeah. What will generally happen is if something's really important, I'll definitely hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just through whisperings of people. So for all those thousands of controversies that happen in a given day, the ones that really matter will trickle down to me.
What do you see when you look at the way smartphone users live? Because it's a huge percentage of our population.
Yeah, it's very big. It's like it's pretty ubiquitous. Everyone is on their phone. It looks like it's very critical for survival. And my message is that it is possible to exist without it.
So, to put that in perspective, Michael doesn't have access to things like Uber or Lyft that we take for granted, or the Lime bikes that are all over mm-hmm. Seattle. So he doesn't use any apps. He doesn't have any app-based sort of conveniences in his life. He doesn't pay for his coffee before he gets to the coffee shop through some mobile app. Mm. He doesn't navigate city streets with the help of Google Maps or anything like that. When you text in a group situation, you only get one text back. There, you can't use emojis. You listen to music on a little tiny MP3 player in your pocket that you showed me.
Yeah.
And the list goes on. but you look alive, you're breathing, you're sitting here laughing, you look perfectly...
I am a real person. I am indeed real.
You look perfectly happy to me.
I feel happy.
You feel fulfilled, like you're getting enough out of life without technology, a supercomputer in your pocket?
I feel like I do miss out on memes.
How do you know what a meme is?
I was shown one on my friend's phone a couple times. I mean, I know what a meme is. You know, I've been exposed to that. But there'll definitely be moments where some people are, you know, talking about something topical going on in the news, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What happened? I don't know, when things really meaningful happen. Like I said, I do hear about it. Like when George H. Walker Bush passed away, I did hear about that very quickly. And I wasn't on, you know, a technology platform to hear about that. I just heard people talking about it at a bar.
You mentioned bars, and you mentioned going into bars and everyone sort of filling that space between conversation with putting their head down and toward a device. Talk a little bit about that, sort of as a guy who doesn't really just look at his flip phone when he's sitting somewhere.
Yeah, what I've noticed is definitely when you walk into a bar, you know, the culture is to be, you know, staring down at the phone. Not everyone does this. A lot of people are talking to their friends. But the ones who aren't engaged with their friends are looking down at their phone. So it feels like there's not an opportunity to connect with those folks. And I wonder if, you know, 20, 30 years ago, what would that person have been doing at a bar instead of looking at the phone? Would they have been reading a newspaper? Would they have a Sudoku puzzle on the table? Like, who knows? I'm not sure, because I wasn't alive.
So, Michael, you're 28. How long have you lived in Seattle?
10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're in a much more hyper-tech focused city than a lot of places you could live in the country. So you're probably bombarded even more with the fact that you're not on a smartphone. What was your experience like in college and getting out of college where you just kind of kept this going?
A lot of my friends were like, you're going to cave.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, they're like, you'll give in one day. You'll get the phone. And I started seeing it becoming more and more commonplace to have the smartphone. I think 2012, when I graduated, it still hadn't reached that maturity level yet. Not all my friends had a smartphone at that point. But by 2015, 16, it was pretty much everyone I knew.
Okay.
Had the smartphone.
And you've kind of gone through this period where it comes across as, oh, this guy's just being contrarian, or he's trying to be a hipster. He's just like, tell us a little bit about that, because that's, I mean, everything sort of retro becomes cool again, and that has happened with this piece of technology that you carry.
Yeah, and I just want to say that I've been cool ever since 13 years ago when I didn't pick it up. So I guess that makes me a huge hipster at this point. You know, this is not a moral tirade against the technology. For me, like I said, it's a game, and I enjoy playing the game to figure out how to live without it. It feels fun and fulfilling for me to figure out what the solution is. I cannot say that my life is better or worse, because I do not know how other people live their life around me.
And you did have a period where you had a smartphone through work for a short period of time. It was about 2016.
That's right.
Do you ever think about that period and think back to it and miss certain aspects of it?
Definitely the maps.
Yeah.
Because the way I have to navigate is I gotta go on MapQuest, type in my address that I want to find, and then, you know, write it on paper. Find out where I need to go. Whereas on the smartphone, I could download a map app, and now I know where I'm going. So that was hard.
When's the last time you were late for something because you were lost?
On a weekly basis. A birthday party. But it wasn't because I was lost. It's because I took a nap and I fell asleep. But being lost, I would say it was another birthday party 2 months ago. One of my good friends, it was in November, and I got lost because it was First Avenue West, not First Avenue.
Okay.
And so I had to go backwards on my bike to find First Avenue West. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got the directional coordinates messed up. You know, I messed up.
You're listening to GeekWire, and we'll be right back.
Technology moves fast. I need to move faster. WGU's competency-based education puts me in control of how fast I move through my IT degree program. I can accelerate my program by applying what I already know to my courses and focusing on the things I need to learn. Earn a respected accredited degree that propels your career in the IT field. Learn more at wgu.edu/ITCertsIncluded.
Welcome back. I'm Kurt Slosser from GeekWire, and I'm talking today with Michael Valeri, a Seattle techie who has lived the past 13 years without a smartphone. Here's the rest of our conversation. Okay, so tell us again how you ended up deciding not to get a smartphone. Like, were you at the UW when you made that decision?
Yeah, I remember my girlfriend at the time told me that I absolutely needed to get texting on my phone. So this was in 2010, and I didn't even have texting yet. And she's like, if you want to date me, like, you're going to have texting on your phone at the bare minimum. I'm like, okay. So I got texting. And this was a train that I just realized I had fallen off from. Like, I didn't intentionally jump off this train. I was just like, oh, gosh, like, I'm behind. Because I was studying so much. I was very focused on, getting good grades and being in the library a lot. And I didn't want the distraction. I felt like it would have been very distracting to focus.
You know, that's interesting because I have a son who's 11 and we're grappling with this. Should we get him a smartphone?
Yeah.
He currently has a flip phone. He's in sixth grade. Tell me why we should keep him on the path that he's on. Give me the...
And don't to have a flip phone?
Tell me how cool he can be.
Well, you don't want him to turn out like me because he's going to be late a lot and he's going to be the butt of every joke at every party. You know, I would say just like anything, it's about moderation. One of the things people ask me a lot about not having the phone is, are you more mindful? Are you more of a mindful person? I said, I'm probably one of the least mindful people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
I am constantly thinking of like thousands of different thoughts a day. So I think that's up to you, how you decide to tackle that. Everyone's going to have a different style, you know, just as long as you're not overindulging, you know, with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have like younger siblings or nieces or anybody that you see in your family who they're in your presence and they're constantly on social media where you're just like, you're not living?
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, Uncle Mike is going to make fun of my niece and nephew, my sister. She lives in South Dakota and her kids, they love their iPod Touch and, you know, they use it like a smartphone. They put that, you know, they use a selfie stick with it.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, they're kids, like they want to have fun.
Right.
You know, they want to play with this technology. I think eventually we'll probably reach a day where those young people, when they hear about a class like this, they'll truly think, I didn't think that was possible. I didn't truly think it was possible to live without a smartphone. It'd be like if you told someone our age today how to live without internet.
Right.
I don't know if you can. It's very difficult. I've tried it once.
Yeah, and I mean, just... everything that we interact with, everything that we do is geared toward people who are online or on a smart device. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's anything that could ultimately cause you to cave and give in and get a smartphone? Like whether it's a piece of technology that catches your eye finally, or just you have met the right woman who says, that's a deal breaker, dude.
That's a deal breaker. You know... I definitely think not having the smartphone makes me more marketable in that regard because I'm, you know, I'm a bit less available. It's a little harder to get a hold of me.
Mysterious.
I'm a bit more mysterious. It's hard to find stuff about me online. So what would be the deal? What would get me to do it? I'm waiting for the doctoral dissertation on why you need a smartphone.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking for someone to write that, sit me down in a room and read it to me. And if they convince me, I'll flip. Like I'll
literally,
I'll change my mind and I'll get the smartphone. I'm just waiting for the doctoral dissertation on why you need to live with a smartphone. I haven't seen it yet.
You'll anti-flip.
Yeah.
Well, and you're giving your own class.
Yeah.
At General Assembly in Seattle. It's called... Is it called Swipeless in Seattle? Is that the name of the class?
It is called Swipeless in Seattle.
Right. That's a headline right out of the flip phone era.
Yes.
tell us about this event and what, you know, there's four pillars of topics that you're going to cover to help people sort of understand how you live and how they can live a similar life.
That's right. So this class is focused on not the why you should live without a smartphone, but how. Mm-hmm. So I'm not seeing a lot of narratives out there online about how to live without the smartphone. I'm seeing a ton of why technology is addicting, why you should be more mindful. So I'm like, we're gonna take a different spin on this. This is practical advice for how to live without a smartphone. So we are covering four topics. Number one is navigation. That's one that folks seem to have a hard time with.
Right.
Second is transportation, because now you don't have access to Lyft and Uber.
Yep.
Or Lime bikes or Jump bikes. So what do you do there? And then the third is entertainment. Well, what will I do without the phone? How will I entertain myself? How will I share my life and compare my life without the phone? And then we're actually going to be doing a bit of how to network with... the owner of the Connect Lounge, her name is Yulia, and she's going to come in and do about a 10 to 15 minute presentation about effectively networking without the phone. At her bar, you're actually encouraged to put your phone in a box.
Nice. Well, give me a top tip, say in the transportation area. Seems like you just drive your own car or ride your own bike and not worry about the sharing economy.
Right. You would have to rely on ownership. Mm-hmm. So you would have to personally, I can't believe we're saying this, but you'd have to personally own your own bike or your own car. So I have an e-bike, and I feel like that's pretty effective for getting around the city.
And navigation, you sometimes will print out directions before you head out of the house to go somewhere?
No, I mean, I'll just write them on a piece of paper.
Okay.
I use this thing called writing, and I'll...
this paper thing.
I'll just physically write the address down on little notes.
Okay.
And actually, I brought...
Oh, is this the GeekWire address?
Yeah, I brought the GeekWire address here, and I just wrote it down, and I just wrote your name on it.
Now, that was in an email to you.
That's right.
You've taken that and written it down on a piece of paper.
I did. So that's crazy, because the address could have changed and I wouldn't have known where to go. But now I know.
What?
But I knew how to get here by looking at the address, because there's a code embedded in an address. Addresses aren't just random.
That's right.
They're planned.
Yes.
You know? They tell you vital information about where you're going. But that's in the class, so you'll have to wait.
And what about the entertainment? What do you have cable at home? Do you surf the internet on a laptop and say, this is what I'm missing in a smaller form of hardware?
Well, you know, I share my internet with my neighbor. Her and I share internet. She's great. I definitely missed a payment once and she got pretty pissed.
Okay.
She's like, dude, we're sharing this and you couldn't pay me.
Because you couldn't Venmo her.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't have cable. I have an antenna.
All right.
So rabbit ears, and I get Cairo and Como news. I read books. I listen to music. You know, I would do anything that a smartphone user would do, except I might have to use four different pieces of technology to get there. For me, this feels like the best way I can live my life. Okay. This is the best way I can live my life, and I really stress I, because this model might not work for everybody, but with my personality type and who I am, this is the best model.
I'm GeekWire reporter Kurt Schlosser. Go to geekwire.com to read my story about Michael Blary. You can also find a link there for more information about the free 2-hour class he'll teach on January 30th at General Assembly in Seattle. That'll help people learn to live without a smartphone, if you're into that. Todd Bishop and the team will be back later this week with our weekly news roundup. Be sure to subscribe to GeekWire in your favorite podcast app to catch all of our interviews and conversations. And thanks for listening.